Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Come Across podcast. I'm Raul Pop, and in each episode I'll present you with brief synopses of news or products I've stumbled on while surfing the internet. The PDFs of those same articles or products will be collected in a single zip file and available for you to download from my podcast website, www.comeacross.info. I will aim to produce an episode every week, although there will probably be some exceptions for holidays and other such occasions. Okay, let's get started. Teens can't stand the buzz. What? Yes, you heard me right. An inventor named Howard Stapleton from Wales, the UK, has come out with a device called the Mosquito, which emits a high-frequency pulsing sound that can be heard by most people younger than 20 and almost no one older than 30. I have a feeling I'd be the exception to the rule. Even though I'm pushing 30, I can hear most high-frequency sounds such as processors, infrared transmitters or receivers, wireless routers, etc., and it drives me bonkers sometimes. Anyway, the sound of this particular device is designed to so irritate young people that after several minutes they cannot stand it and go away. Shop owners in Wales testing the device say it's been very effective at driving away loitering teens. Normally, one would think teens are good for business, but apparently in that particular place, they're a menace. They hassle incoming, outgoing customers, they intimidate them, they use bad language, they steal from the stores, etc. If it's that bad, I have to wonder what sort of education, if any, these young people are getting at home. This came from CNetNews.com in an article entitled, "What's the Buzz? Teens Can't Stand It," by Sarah Lyall. In an article from BBC News World Edition called China Torture Still Widespread, the unnamed author details how Manfred Nowak, the first UN rapporteur on torture allowed in the country, said that while Beijing outlawed torture in 1996, it is still used by police offenders and in prisons in order to provide evidence in the form of confessions. Methods such as electric shock batons, cigarette burns, and submersion in pits of water or sewage were the most common. Mr. Nowak also stated that some officials had tried to obstruct his fact-finding efforts. I'm sure you've all heard about this next bit of news, so I won't dwell on it. The first face transplant was successfully performed in France. The article I'm providing is called "Face-Op Patient Said Thank You" from BBC World News Edition. Ethical concerns aside, I think this is just amazing, and I'm eager to find out how the transplant performs in the long term. Stumbled on a fascinating article from Discovery News called "Sensor Listens to Cells for Cancer" by Tracy Stetter. A group of professors from the University of Riverside and University of San Diego has been working on a tiny sensor that can hear the subtle electrical signals emitted from cells and can one day be used to listen for cancer. This can eliminate the current need to use organic dyes to stain cells, which can deteriorate the cell, making the diagnosis unclear. By building a baseline of healthy cell signals, anything out of the ordinary will then be more readily apparent when using the sensor. Within the next year, one of the scientists, Miri Oskan, will be working with healthy and cancerous breast cells to discover the signals that give the disease away. Ask Yahoo answers the question, how long is a goldfish's memory? And disputes the oft-berated idea that they've only got a 3-second memory. It turns out they've got something called selective memory. They have a general idea of what happens on a previous occasion. They can also be taught various behaviors, such as when to look for food and how to swim through a maze. How do you remember lists of words? Well, you can use the Roman room trick according to a WikiHow article I'm enclosing. The general idea is to build a room in your mind and equip it with a certain set of things which you can memorize carefully. Then, when you want to remember something new, like a dog, you place it in the room in some odd posture or other that will make it easier for you to recall it. Does it work? Yes, and I recommend you try it. We've all heard how corrupt Nigeria is, at all levels of the government. Then it shouldn't come as a surprise to you to learn that, and I'm sorry if I massacre the name, Diapre Alamia Seya, the governor of an oil-rich province of the country, attempted to flee to foreign land by donning a dress and wig to match forged travel documents. Did you get that right? The guy tried to get out of the country dressed in drag. More details about this and the problem of corruption in Nigeria are detailed in an article from the International Herald Tribune entitled "In Nigerian Hall of Shame, a New Low" by Lydia Palgreen of the New York Times. MSNBC conducted a poll to find the least loved American auto. Their result? The Chevy Vega. They compiled that info along with reader comments in an article called "Readers Choose the Least Loved American Auto." You may soon be able to use your cell phone as a movie projector. See the article called "A Movie Projector in a Cell Phone" by Michael Canellas of CNetNews.com. A firm called Upstream Engineering in Finland is working on an LED projection system that could allow manufacturers to put projectors inside MP3 players, cell phones, or other portable electronics for about $10 to $20. The current prototype optical engine is about the size of a matchbox. The company invented a technique for channeling the light from LEDs to display in thousands of small beams. They collect the light close to the source and send a huge proportion of it to its intended target. As a result, a tiny optical package can provide roughly the same level of illumination efficiency that larger systems can. Upstream Engineering hopes to have a commercial quality engine ready in 2006. Energy hogs in your living room. An article by Allery Gilbert of CNetNews.com talks about how new electronics are eating up more energy than needed, in particular ones that should be saving energy. The biggest culprits are new TVs, such as plasma and LCD. LCD? Yes, it seems that once LCDs exceed the size of a typical computer display and get as large as 40 inches, there's no consistent efficiency advantage, and they turn into energy hogs. Also, any piece of electronics that comes with an external power source will consume power even when not used. An easy way to check is to touch the power sources, adapters, transformers, when they're not in use. Are they warm or even just lukewarm to the touch? They're eating power, if that's the case. My suggestion to you is to use power strips with on-off switches. When you don't use those devices, turn them off at the power strip. The EPA is working with manufacturers to make power adapters in TVs more efficient and hopes to have products on the market starting next year. Here's an interesting statistic, also from the article. If every power adapter were 90% efficient, consumers could collectively save more than 5 billion kilowatt hours of electricity each year. The energy savings would prevent more than 4 million tons of greenhouse gas emission, equivalent to the average emissions of 700,000 cars. Ryan Katz, senior editor of ThingSecret.com, is reporting in a piece called "Road to Expo, Reborn Mac Mini Set to Take Over the Living Room," that the diminutive computer will feature an Intel processor and include both Front Row 2.0 and TiVo-like DVR functionality in its next iteration. It may even sport a built-in iPod dock, so we can sync our video iPods with the shows recorded on it. The 2.5-inch drive may also be replaced with a 3.5-inch to boost storage capacity and trim costs. I welcome everything except the drive switch. I don't want the case to get bigger. It's great like that, small as it is, but let's wait and see what the creative engineers at Apple can do. Apparently, Amar Bose, the 76-year-old founder of Bose Electronics, has had a pet project for decades. It has to do with suspension systems. He's been working on a whiz-bang suspension, radically different from anything on the market these days, that will allow cars to literally skip over obstacles or potholes in the road without any shock to the driver. Pretty cool. See the article for more details. It's called "Bose Suspension Takes on Potholes." It's published on Wired News from the Associated Press, no author listed. It's interesting to note that the sponsor of the article is Lexus. Do I see a potential association here? A company called SRI has developed direct carbon fuel cell technology, and the process is about 70% efficient, double that of traditional coal power plants. Researchers can take anything that contains carbon, pulverized coal, human waste, or banana peels, and directly transform the fuel's chemical energy into electricity by electrochemically oxidizing the carbon. The technology is still too costly for mass production, but they're hoping that by 2015, it'll be ready for big uses such as power plants. See the article entitled "Fuel Up with Banana Peels" by Cyrus Farivar from Wired News. This final bit of news comes from an email forward. I wish I knew the author's name so I could give due credit, but I don't. All right, here are two tough questions. Question one. If you knew a woman who was pregnant, who had 8 kids already, out of whom 3 were deaf, 2 were blind, 1 mentally retarded, and she had syphilis, would you recommend that she have an abortion? If you said yes, you just killed Beethoven. Question 2. It is time to elect a new world leader and only your vote counts. Here are the facts about the 3 leading candidates. Candidate A associates with crooked politicians and consults with astrologists. He's had 2 mistresses. He also chain smokes and drinks 8 to 10 martinis a day. Candidate B. He was kicked out of office 2 times, sleeps until noon, used opium in college and drinks 1/4 of whiskey every evening. Candidate C. He's a decorated war hero. He's a vegetarian, doesn't smoke, drinks an occasional beer, and never cheated on his wife. Which of these candidates would be your choice? Are you ready? Here are the answers. Candidate A. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Candidate B. Winston Churchill. And candidate C. Adolf Hitler. Or how about this one? Keep in mind the following. Amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic. So the moral is, never be afraid to try something new. Okay, this one should really shock you. Can you imagine working for a company that has little more than 500 employees and has the following statistics? 29 have been accused of spousal abuse, 7 have been arrested for fraud, 19 have been accused of writing bad checks, 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses, 3 have done time for assault, 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit, 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges, 8 have been arrested for shoplifting, 21 are currently defendants in lawsuits, and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. Can you guess which organization this is? Give up yet? It's the 535 members of the United States Congress. Now, I'm not sure how up-to-date these statistics are. Obviously, this forward has been going around for a while, but it is very interesting to note these things. All right, that's it for today. I'm Raoul Pop. Thank you for listening. Check back next week for another episode.